Thank you, and sorry for upsetting your schedule. And maybe you'll find a new way to do your Holy Communion. Looks like it's a yearly event that I'm invited to be here in the beginning of the year, so that I do not mess up the end of the year for you. So that's why the beginning of the year. And today we want to look at the Bible passage from Mark chapter 4, a story that you and I are familiar with. And I want to look at it with you today. Perhaps in the coming year, there will be storms facing you. And if so, perhaps this Bible passage will hold you steady. Let's turn to the Bible, to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we perished?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even wind and sea obey him?" Then looking at verse 1 of chapter 5, we read, "They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gerasenes." I want to look quickly at three observations. So if you can keep your Bible in front of you, because the focus of always God's word teaching is God's word. If you look at verse 35, we read, "When evening had come." These words tells us that it was the end of a long day of hard work, and it was getting dark. So it means that for the disciples, they were facing the storm at the most inconvenient time. Similarly, problems always seems to visit us when we are at our weakest and at the worst time. This happened to me in the year 2000. After passing over the leadership of Singapore Youth for Christ and then assume the assignment to internationalize the work of RBC ministry, someone made a false accusation against me to the police. In the midst of resolving problems in many countries on behalf of RBC ministry, I was under police investigation, which lasted for 6 years. In those early days, I asked God, "Why, Lord, at all times, this time?" Then if you look at verse 35 again, we read these words. Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." Notice that the disciples were doing what Jesus had asked them to do. Yet we wonder why they had to face the storm. From this we learn that storms can happen to those who are doing God's will. However, some think that if they do what God asked them to do, everything will be okay. This is not always true. For the disciple, it wasn't. They were doing what Jesus asked them to do, yet they met with a storm, and it was a really big storm. Then look at verse 36. when they had left the multitude. This tells us that those who are now traveling with Jesus were the disciples. The disciples are those who were chosen by Jesus and closest to Jesus. So what do we learn? We learn that storms can happen even to those who are closest to Jesus. Now, I'm sure I have given you tremendous encouragement. In year 2008, Cyclone Nargis hit the Delta area of Myanmar. I was told that 150,000 lives were lost. Just one night, the storms came through and wiped out 150,000 lives, more effective than many bombs. And I was told that many were Christians, for the people living in the Delta area, many of them were Karen Christians. So on the lips of many were this question: why would a good God allow suffering? If this is the question you are still asking, RBC Ministry has a booklet which you can ask your pastor to get it on your behalf, and you can pick it up and read it. But allow me to share with you what I learned to ask after facing many storms. I learned no longer to ask the question why. Instead, I learned to ask what. I no longer asked why God, but God, what are you teaching me? So this morning, let us ask this question: what does the Lord wants us to learn from this story about Jesus calming the storm? Let me suggest to you 5 lessons. First lesson: storms will surely happen. Storm will surely come. In 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 12, the Apostle Peter told us, "Dear friends," 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 12, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you." The disciples were shocked when they saw such a big storm in the Lake of Galilee. Never had it been bigger. Let me share some facts about the Lake of Galilee with you. It is actually a very small lake. When you think in terms of Lake Michigan and so forth, it is a very small lake, only 21 kilometers by 11 kilometers. Of course, for Singapore, that's a very big lake, right? But, you know, in comparison to the world, it's only 21 kilometers by 11 kilometers. But it has a unique feature. First thing we notice that it is 200 meters below sea level. Secondly, it is the lowest freshwater lake in the world. As such, this lake could turn very turbulent. For north of the Lake of Galilee is Mount Hermon, rising 2,200 meters above sea level. West of it is Jezeri Valley. Beyond that is the Carmel range of hills with a maximum height of 550 meters high. And beyond Carmel hills is the Mediterranean Sea. So when the cold air coming down from Mount Hermon meets with the relatively warmer air coming over Carmel from the Mediterranean, almost immediately, without any warning, it can transform a calm Galilee lake into a raging sea. High winds, whipped up by a combination of factors, hit the boat that Jesus and the disciples were in. Now we need to remember this, that in the boat, there were four experienced fishermen. Okay? Each of them earned their living by fishing in this lake. And they knew how to deal with storms. However, this storm was too big, and the boat was taking in water. In spite of their best effort, they were helpless. The storm was tossing their boat like a matchstick box. But wasn't Jesus with them? Wouldn't the Heavenly Father protect Jesus who is in the boat with his disciples? Similarly, at times we feel totally helpless. We have done our best, and our efforts make no dent on the storms we are dealing with. And we wonder also whether our Heavenly Father loves and cares for us. There are many types of storms in our lives. Some are financial. Some are health issues. Some storms, and these are the worst kind of storms we face, are that of broken relationships. Like the disciples, we wondered, Jesus, don't you care if I drown? But the presence of storm in our lives doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. Yes, sometimes the storms are caused by us. But at other times, storms just happen. Why? For we live in a fallen world. So the first lesson we learn is this. Storm will surely happen. Accept this fact. It's not a matter of whether it will happen or not. It is a matter of when it will happen. And it usually happens at our most inconvenient time. Lesson 1. Lesson 2. Jesus is in the storm with us. If you are going to be hit by a storm, that one person you want to be with is Jesus, isn't it? Jesus was there. But the problem is, he was sleeping. Jesus was sleeping for two reasons. Firstly, he was exhausted after ministering to the crowds the whole day. And secondly, I believe he was assured that his Father will care for him. But the disciples interpreted Jesus sleeping as a lack of concern. Jesus is with us. Did he not say to us, his people, that he will never leave us nor forsake us? Yet, often, we feel that Jesus is asleep. We pray and we pray, yet God is silent. What was Jesus' response when he was awakened? After rebuking the storm, he rebuked his disciples. He asked them two questions. We read this in verse 40. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples had spent a significant amount of time with Jesus. They had seen and they had experienced what Jesus could do. How about us? Have we not been Christians for some years? Have we not seen what God can do? Can we not trust him for our tomorrow? In 1985, those of you who have lived long enough, 1985, as some of you may remember, Singapore was hit by one of the worst recessions. The young man who was playing the drum, perhaps you cannot remember. but you played your drum very well, with much self-control. I'm very pleased with people who hit drums with self-control. I just don't like the drummers with no control. You know, but remember 1985? Singapore was hit by one of the worst recessions. Many people lost their jobs, and many business people went bankrupt. I became afraid. I wondered whether I could feed my family. I was thinking of giving up serving full-time and focusing on earning more money. I was worried that I may not be able to save enough for my children's university education. And the reason why I had to save enough for my children's university education is because they are rebellious children, don't want to learn their Chinese. Those of you who are Singaporeans, you know this problem. I began to lose the joy of serving God. I no longer bounce out of bed. You don't believe it, but I am those who bounce out of my bed. You look at me, you know, you wonder how come. Instead, I roll out of it. Literally, I roll out of it. Why? Because I had forgotten that Jesus cares. Though I knew He was with me, yet I thought He is sleeping. Today I look back at those years and am ashamed that I did not have enough faith in God. I have forgotten that Jesus is in the storm with me. He may be sleeping, but He cares. Lesson 3. Jesus will calm the storm. Storm will surely happen. Jesus is in the storm with us. Jesus will calm the storm. Jesus will exercise His power over the storm, but in His time. God is never in a hurry because He knows when is the right time. However, we want God to act quickly and if possible, yesterday. But God knows when is the best time to act. We who are wiser knows that timing is important. Isn't it so? God knows best, and so He will act in His time. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Interestingly, He says, if I can read to you in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, you see, at just the right time, when we are still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Then, if you can flip your Bible to 1 Peter, that is after Hebrews, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 to 7, we are told, humble yourself therefore under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. His time. Therefore cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Why is it so important for God to deal with us in accordance to His timing? I believe because God is more interested that we grow in our faith. This is what Peter tells us also in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. He said, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, Gold prices is going up, I know. Never years ago could people believe that gold prices will go beyond $1,000. Now they are looking at the prospect of gold going beyond $2,000. But here he says,